Okay.
Make me feel like the story hog or something. Don't you always come and tell us stories? basically, one night we was coming down the road, and me and a couple other fellas was up on line. We was praising the Lord and glorifying the Lord. And just, I mean, we were just in the presence of the Lord by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we was coming down the road, and I got right about where I live, where the Holy Spirit just kept getting stronger and stronger, getting to the point where it's getting thick enough, you know, and people talk about just breathing it in, and that's basically how thick it was getting with all of us. As I passed the exit, last exit there, right there at my house, the Holy Spirit started showing me stuff, and the first time he showed, brought somebody in from the right side, and they were sick, and they had, you know, they were sick and in bed and needed prayer, and the Holy Spirit said, here, pray for them. I was like, where do you start? He said, start. And I just started praying for what I was seeing there, them laying in bed, whatever it was, and as I started praying for them, then I prayed for them a little while, and then they just went back to the right, the picture did, and then one come in from the left, and they were sick and having difficulty. That one, I believe, if I'm remembering right, had cancer or something. It was a real bad sickness, and they were real sick. And it went on just from, as I was going down the road, it's just like, these people live here, they need prayer. And I didn't know who the people was, but the Holy Spirit was basically showing me something at the same time he was having these people pray for as I was going down the road. And there was one particular part there where it showed me a kid on a bicycle with a little helmet on, a little three-wheel bicycle with his father. And he had what they call cerebral palsy, you know, and everybody stays away from that because there's no medical cure for it, and they're crippled up. And you can go to about any healing revival you want to go to, and if somebody walks up with cerebral palsy, most evangelists and ministers will walk around and around and around them. And never pray for them except maybe to give them a quick touch and go on. And the reason for that is, as anybody would figure, so because they ain't sure that they can be healed because medical science says they can't. So that inflicts a speck of doubt in people's mind. And so they usually stay away from that. But anyway, that was one thing he showed me. I prayed for it and went back to the right. And as he kept on going, I was like, wow, this is good, you know. And the more I prayed for each picture that he showed me, each person that he showed me, the stronger the Holy Spirit got. I mean, he just kept getting stronger and stronger and thicker. And basically, what it was doing is when I start praying, if I was praying in the wrong direction, the Holy Spirit would check me. You know, you're not praying right. You know, pray this direction or that direction, you know, according to what kind of spirits, the infirmity that was coming against the people, as well as the infirmity itself. And as I was going down the road, then the last one to pop up is a guy sitting in a, it was in a brown, one of them old brown Naga high chairs. He had a pair of slippers on, and he had a pair of white socks on. He had a yellow shirt on. And he was sitting there, and he had a gun in his hand. And he was putting it to his mouth. And I was like, no, no. You know, I started praying, Lord, no, don't let that happen. And he said, wait a minute. That's not what's happening here. It's not me letting it happen. How are you going to pray about this? And I was like, well, don't let him kill himself. You know, have mercy. And he said, no, that's not it. What do you pray for? What is happening to this man? What's causing this man to do this? And basically, he had to get me to where I was praying for the right thing instead of just praying. I was trying to pray amiss on everything going there. And basically, I started taking authority over the spirit of suicide. And as I continued to take authority over the spirit of suicide and allow the man to feel what he needed to feel and to know that the Lord had it in control, then as I come against the spirit of suicide, then the man took the gun down from his mouth. And, you know, and at that point in time. And as I was continuing down the road praying, I was like, wow. I mean, I was just, it's one of them deals where you're sitting in the presence of the Lord, you can't move because it's just so thick and it's just the presence is there. And it's basically a learning experience from what was going on. And there's no doubt in my mind, everybody I seen and would pray for that night, that the Holy Spirit took care of them, the Lord took care of their situation. I would fully believe that. And as I continued to go on down the road, I started talking to the Lord, and you know, the Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to teach me? What are you showing me here? I know there's more than just, you know, just what I'm going to do here, you know. So I can continue to talk to him. And he said, basically, he said, what little bit of power you just seen there, and the amazing things that I can do with the prayer that you just prayed, and all those things that you just seen and seen me take care of, and all the things that you've seen and heard on television, people under the anointing of the power of the Lord, all those things, there's nothing to the extent of the power that you can walk in under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The actual anointing and power that man can walk under, if he's willing to go the distance, has not yet been tapped into yet. And all you've seen and all you've heard of, man has not yet stepped into the arena of where he can actually go. If he's willing to take the journey and willing to make the trip. Which told me that whenever you just, all of us, we've seen things. We've seen the Lord move. We've seen him heal. We've seen him deliver. We've seen all kinds of things. And at the same time, all we've seen and all the power that we've seen the Holy Spirit working on people, work under that power. We hear Smith Wigglesworth. We've heard of Billy Sunday. We've seen Oral Roberts' Great Crusades. We've seen all kinds of stuff as we come up. Some of it we may have forgotten because we've seen it as children. But still, in all the awe of the power of the Holy Spirit that we've seen people under, we have still not yet seen the extent of the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we ourselves can actually walk under if we're willing to create that relationship between him and us. That's basically what it was telling me that morning. But the awesomeness of what it was, just showing the different people different sicknesses. And at that point in time, he was giving me the names of the sicknesses and, you know, how you pray for this. And I start praying, and when I was going to him, he'd direct me into a different direction. Basically, it was a training session for me. And because it's happening to me, which becomes a training session for you as I extend the story to you. And basically, once now you know it. So now you're responsible for, do you want to walk closer? Do you want to walk in more power and authority? Do you want to walk in places you've never walked by the leading of the Holy Spirit with that anointing upon you? Are you willing to make that effort to become more of what he would have you to be and less of what you would have you to be? Or are you satisfied with making excuses why you can't and why you shouldn't do it? It's basically what it comes down to, and that's what he said. If you want it, it's here. Are you willing to make an effort to walk in that power, in that anointing? Not for man's glory, but for God's glory. That's basically it.
Sounds like there was a minute that you were being taught how to pray for certain things, like the guy that was thinking about committing the suicide.
Right. That's how he teaches you about things. He teaches us about stuff. Sometimes we are actually in that position to pray for those people at times. Do we run?
Yeah.
Or do we see the challenge and the opportunity to grow and learn? See, we have that option. We have a free will. Now, people will tell you don't have a free will, that you are going to do God's will, what he wants you to do, when he wants you to do it, how he wants you to do it. And basically, But the thing about it is, we have a free will to make decisions how deep we're going to walk in the Spirit, how much of a relationship, personal relationship, we're going to have with Christ, how much we're willing to learn or how much we're not willing to learn. We have, the Lord give us that freedom to make those decisions. Now, what He wants us to do and what He brings us out to be and who we are, it goes back into what He told Jeremiah. I knew you while you were still in your mother's womb, and I put the abilities to do what I'm asking you to do in you at that point in time while you were still in your mother's womb. And Jeremiah was trying to school wiggle his way out of it, and he said, no, it ain't working because I've done this, and now what are you going to do about it? Basically, you know, there's talents that we have and there's abilities that we have that we don't use a lot of times. That's like you'll hear people say, well, I can't sing. I'm just not going to do that. I'm just not worthy. Okay? But when they start singing, all of a sudden, they got a good voice. Or when they start singing, their voice may be a little raspy, but as they continue to make an effort, God blesses that effort. And within that effort, God blesses, and He brings them to a point and place where their voice may have at one time been, because they chose not to use that voice no more and go a different direction. See, so we make choices, and we make conscious decisions. Now, we like to make the excuse, well, I didn't really know what I was doing. Yeah, you did. But you really know that you were scared to do it, and you really didn't want to deal with what people were going to think about you and how they were going to accept you or reject you. Because you're now become this person. All the good old boys you used to hang out with accept you as, yeah, he's a Christian. But all of a sudden you start walking in places that you didn't walk before when they say, well, brother, would you pray for me? And basically they want you to wait until next week to pray for them. I want you to wait till you get home. Well, once you get to a certain place and a certain walk with the Lord, somebody says, will you pray for me? Yeah, it's on. You in Walmart? You on the yard at work, wherever. Because when they open that door, then it's an open door. And you're not waiting for somebody to do it. You're doing it right then. They're like, whoa. And all of a sudden, are you rejected or are you accepted? And these are things that we fear. We fear rejection. So we become men-pleasers instead of God-pleasers. There's times that we'll learn something by praying for somebody right then, right there, because they ask for prayer. You know, when you start looking in the Bible, you hear preachers doing this all the time to each other. Well, you're supposed to be ready in season and out of season. That's what it says in the Word. Did you know it also says that about prayer? That you're supposed to be instant in season and out of season with your prayer? That means if you're standing in Walmart, if you're getting fuel at a fuel pump and somebody walks up to you and says, would you pray for me? I'm in trouble. I need some help. And the first thing that comes to your mind is pray, and you actually do it. You just stepped into a different arena of your walk with God than you ever did before.
Amen.
And that's a teaching. That's a teaching time. That's a time that you're learning something. Yeah, you strap yourself in because you're going for a ride right there that you've never rode before. You're doing something there, and you're gaining freedom and an abundance of the Spirit upon you that you've never done before. You're allowing Him to come in to a relationship with you that you never before. Because now, I don't care what that man thinks. My Lord, my Savior, my Master, my Creator, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, told me to pray for them. And if everybody on the fuel pump, and when you get done praying for them, you may look around and everybody on that fuel pump from the next pump over until the very end down there where you wouldn't think they could hear you, maybe standing there with their hat in their hand or their hand over their heart or their head bowed. And when you look up, you're like, whoa. See, God just used you because you were willing to take a step out of your comfort zone and out of your acceptance zone to be accepted by Him. And become comfortable in the way that He wants you to work and the way that He wants you to do. But if you won't step out of that zone and you won't step into His leading and His will and His way, It's like you said, Brother, there's times that he's teaching you. But as he's teaching you while you're doing his work, his bidding. You know, I was down here at the terminal one night, and I was standing there. I've been talking to a guy that he'd turned his back on the Lord. And I've been talking to him a little bit as the Lord gave me an opportunity and, you know, give us several times that we were right there together, and I've been talking to him about it. And, just in general, just as he would open, I would step in. But as long as he didn't open the door, I couldn't get into him. And basically, he was half serious, and he was, because of the situation he was in, and he was half, you know, just running his mouth, you know. And we were standing in the driver's room. There was 8 drivers in there, and they none of them have a clean mouth on that night. I was getting ready to, matter of fact, I was getting ready to leave and come back in and get my paperwork because it was pretty rough, you know. And old boy looked, and I started to head for the door. He said, Curtis, pray for me now when you're praying. And the Lord says, now, I got 8 drivers. I'm just standing in there. Just got through doing a good cussing session amongst themselves, talking about things that shouldn't have been talking about anyway. And the Lord said, now. I just stepped over there, put my hand on his shoulder, and started praying. And the room got quiet. I mean, bam. It was just like somebody put a tape over all of them's mouth. And I wasn't really concentrating on that. I was concentrating on the prayer, you know, and the prayer, you know, for him, you know, to come back to the Lord, to get in another relationship with him, to walk, you know, and whatever else the Holy Spirit brought forth. And when I got done, I raised my head up. Every driver in the room was standing there with their hat off over their heart, standing there with their head bowed, okay? And the guy that I was praying for, he says, well, I meant whenever you was praying. I said, well, I was praying. You know, dispatcher was sitting there on the other side of the window looking up at me with his mouth dropped open. I'm like, I don't believe you did that. See? But the thing about it is, the Lord made an impression on them right then, right there. Not only that, amen. He pulled me from a comfort zone where I could just ease off and stay there. And pulled me from that comfort zone into a place where this is who God is. He's present here. He's present now. And this man is willing to be useful. It's not about me. It was about that there was a point in time at that right then that God wanted to let them know that within all their words they were speaking and all the things they were doing, that he was present right there. And I could feel the presence of the Lord when I was praying. And that old boy I was praying for, he looked around seeing everybody else with their hats off over their heart, and he was like, well, maybe I should have took my hat off. I said, too late now, it's done, you know. But, you know, and the thing about it is, these are things that he's asking us to do. And we have to start walking in these places in order to be able to walk in a deeper depth with the leading of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Lord on us to be able to spread to other people. That's not just for Curtis. That's for everybody on this line. Everybody here that just heard what I said. That's the same thing. You want to walk deeper than you ever walked. You want to be somebody you've never been. You want to walk with a relationship of your Lord and Savior, with a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You want people to look at you and say, if you don't want prayer right now, don't ask him. Because that's basically what they're saying. You know, and, you know, one of my first experience was that. I was in Walmart, and the guy said, well, pray for me whenever you're praying. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, just like everybody does. And I got in the parking lot and was to go back in there and pray for me. He asked you for prayer. I said, he's talking about later, Lord. He said, didn't he just ask you for prayer? I said, well, couldn't argue about that. He said, go back in there and pray for him. So I had to go back in there and run the boy down. He said, well, down there. I hollered at him. He said, what? I said, didn't you just ask for prayer? He said, well, yeah. Well, we just got it done right there in the middle of Walmart. When it got done, he was like, well, I meant later, but I said, is it okay now? You know, and basically, that's what he wants us to be willing to do. He wants us to be so unashamed of him, so willing to walk in the way that he would have us to walk, to do what he would have us to do, that as we are instantly in his presence, doing what he would have us to do. It's not about us. It's about him. Because we may be standing there saying that prayer, but his presence is what they feel. His presence is what they recognize. You may see somebody a month later, and they'll be like, I know you. I know there's something about you, you know. And the thing about it is, they was the ones standing 2 aisles over and heard you praying and felt the presence of the Lord. And they recognize that spirit upon you. They don't recognize you per se, but they recognize that spirit upon you. They recognize the boldness of the Holy Spirit coming out in you as you're willing to do what God directs you to do. And that was basically what he was teaching me that morning. I can heal anybody at any time. They don't have to be standing in your presence because they're standing in my presence. And as I show you who to pray for, and I bring them before you and you see their condition, then you know a direction in which to pray. And so being, as you continue to walk in that, I will teach you how to pray. I will teach you how to walk. I will teach you what to do and what to say. If you're willing, there it is. If you are willing to take that step. The Bible tells us that if we'll take one toward him, he'll take two toward us. The thing about it is, we're too worried too much about what man's going to think. So basically, that morning he was telling me, there's a place that you can walk in, or that man can walk in that he's not yet went, in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. And within that walk, there's things that will happen around about you through as you do what I tell you to do, that people will be able to see my might, my power, my glory, because you're willing to walk there. You're willing to sacrifice the time to pray. You're willing to sacrifice the time to read. And whenever you get into that point and place, then he will constantly teach you. He will teach you in your sleep. Because when you're awake, you're conscious, and you're resisting what he's trying to teach you a lot of times. And there'd be times that you'll wake up. I woke up in the middle of the night, and him giving me something that he's been trying to give me all day. I didn't realize it until I woke up and he was giving it to me in my sleep. The Holy Spirit will teach you 24/7 if you will allow it and be open and perceptive to it. The Holy Spirit will cause you to catch your tongue before it gets away from you at a point in time, which is one of the fruit, which is the fruit of the Spirit. It's called self-control. And as you get into it, not only as you follow the leading of the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit is exactly that. It's the fruit that people have showing in their lives because the Holy Spirit is active in your life. And when you start allowing yourself to practice the fruit of the Spirit, then you will start to see changes in your life that you did not before. And you can pray that over yourself and to pray it over your brothers and sisters as well, if they're willing to accept it. And if they're not willing to accept it, then they'll also look and they'll start seeing themselves in ways they did before. But basically that morning, it was on. I mean, it was just so thick. And when the guy put the gun to his mouth, first thing I was like, Lord, don't let him do that. You know? And the Lord says, how do you pray? What is this man dealing with right now? And basically what it come down to, the man was dealing with a spirit of suicide, a spirit of depression, a spirit of oppression, a spirit of hopelessness, a spirit of fear. Well, my first impulse was, Lord, don't let him do it. The Lord's reply to me was, well, how are you going to pray about it? What's going on in this man's life? To cause him to be able to come to this point to accept the lie of suicide and be willing to go to this extent. And when I started taking authority over the spirit of suicide, the fear, hopelessness, and all this stuff, then he slowly pulled the gun down from his head, from his mouth. At that point in time, see, those things, when he shows you stuff like that, he shows you for a reason. I say, I don't forget that. There's a lot of things that happened under the leading of the Holy Spirit, you have a hard time bringing back to remembrance. But that's something I've never been able to get away from. So to the point of knowing what, how he was dressed, where he was sitting, the whole nine yards. Even the expression on his face was like, there's nothing left. What do I do now? You see, and anytime you're dealing with a spirit of suicide, there's one question you need to ask yourself, whether you're dealing with it or somebody else is. If you do this, you're not going to be here to see who wins. You're not going to be here to see the outcome. So you're going to give it up? It's not an option. So whenever you start looking at these things, and the difference in, you know, he showed me the kid with a cerebral palsy, because that's an impossibility. Most people look at, they go along with man's report. It's not possible. Medical science has no idea what to even do to start to cause this not to happen, to stop the progression of this disease. Okay. That's medical science. Now, godly science, the divine touch of the Master's hand, through the dynamics of the Holy Spirit, he's got this. You know why? Because one day he laid man out and laid him out on the ground, and he took one bone at a time and he put them together. He took his blood vessels and he put them together. He took the heart in his hands and he molded that heart into the four chambers, and he put them blood vessels in there just exactly where they needed to be. He put the whole, every part of your body has been fingerprinted by God. You got almost 1,000 bones in your feet. Every bone has been fingerprinted by God. He cares that much about us to be able to put us together in such a manner that medical science still can't figure out how we work. They think they know, but they still can't figure out how it happens. So when it comes down to it, and somebody looks at you and says, there's no cure for it. There's no healing for it. It's just the way it's going to be, and that's, you have to accept it. No, I don't have to accept what man says. Man is only man. Put man's word against God, it is nothing. It says, let every man be a liar, but let God's word be the truth. So when man tells you something, you say, well, okay, I know I'm going to die now. Okay, I know this is it. Why are you and I accepting man's word for something he knows absolutely nothing about? God's word is the absolution of everything. And when you set that forth and you choose to stand upon God's word, you choose to walk on in God's word, you choose to set your life by God's word, not just, well, today is a good day, I think I'm going to serve the Lord real strong today. And tomorrow morning you get up, oh, wow, devil's done started, it's raining, I don't know what I'm, we find some of the most pettiest things to allow ourselves the pleasure of not walking so close to God today as we did yesterday, because yesterday might have been a little hard, because we had to witness to somebody we didn't want to witness to, because we had to go somewhere we didn't want to go. Because we had to be nice to somebody we didn't want to be nice to. Because we had to pray for somebody that otherwise we would have walked by. You know. So whenever you start looking at this whole thing that I was talking about, as he was showing me these things, and I share it with people, because God tells you, this is what is. Now this is what you can do. Do you know how many people accept man's report and never ask God how to pray about something? I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about people that serve God, people that go to church, people that know in their own mind, and people that in their own mind know the Bible so well that they know everything there is to know about it. They're divine in their own mind, you know. And whenever you start looking at that, where do you want to go? Are you willing to become somebody you've never been? Are you willing to walk in places you've never walked? It's not on and off one day. We have days that we get out of whack. The Bible talks about everybody that's fell and comes short of the glory of God. But he also says he forgives us 7 times 70. In other words, if you messed up, you ask for forgiveness and get back out there and keep on working, be about the Father's business. Because he's still got something else he wants to teach you. Every morning when you get out of bed, the devil says, we didn't get him any sleep, but we'll try our best to get him while he's awake. And there's some people that when they wake up in the morning and they're conscious, the devil says, oh, no. Another beating's coming today because they're going to pray. They're going to see me coming. They're going to ask to see me coming. And when they see me coming, the battlefield is there. And God's going to send his warring angels to do battle on their behalf as they're willing to stand, put on their whole armor, and stand against the wiles of Satan. And then there's other people that get up, and then the devil says, yeah, well, they woke up again today. That's cool. We ain't got nothing to worry about. It's going to leave them alone. So
yep.
It comes to the point of who do you desire to be? What kind of relationship do you desire to have with the Lord Savior Jesus Christ through the leading of the Holy Spirit? What kind of relationship do you desire to have with the Holy Spirit who is with you every day? Now, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. The Holy Spirit is here with us and in us all the time, every minute of every day. But he said that I go away and I pray and I pray to the Father that he send another. Okay, because if I stay, I can only be with you that I'm with. But if I go away, he can be with us all. I mean present in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the thing about it is, it comes down to this. What he was teaching me that night, and by all means, was dynamically great. It was almost beyond my own mind could fathom. I was seeing it with my own eyes. I was feeling it in my own spirit. I was using the words that he was giving me by the leading of the Holy Spirit while I was praying. And it was so good, I didn't want to slow down. But the thing about it is, it kept mounting, came out. And at the same time, then that's why it surprised me so much when he said, you know, because I was in the presence of the Lord at that point in time, and I was learning something from the other two that was online with me. I was just, when I got done, I started describing to them. Okay, that's how thick the presence of the Lord was, that we were all in there, coming together, agreeing, believing, and touching in prayer. And whenever it comes down to it, all of a sudden, you ain't seen nothing yet. Here's where you can actually go with your life if you're willing to go. If you're willing to have faith, if you're willing to believe, if you're willing to put out that effort for that relationship. Here's where you can go. Here's what you can see. The dynamics in which man has never seen before. And lo and behold, it can be done through you, it can be done through me. If we're willing to take the steps we've never taken before. If we're willing to put off the old man and take on the complete new man. Our trouble is, most people's trouble is, and I'll put it this way, my trouble is, that way you ain't, I know you guys don't fall in this category, but I have to continually ward off the old man, the flesh, because it's easy for me to say, well, that's just who I am. And you know what the Lord says to that? Every time you say, well, that's just who I am, and you're a Christian, the Lord says, that is unacceptable. That's who you were when I saved you. The Bible tells you that he will accept you as come as you are. He will accept you as you are. But he don't say stay as you are and continue your walk as you are. He tells you you'll be a new creature in Christ. You'll be a new, the way you do things, the way you say things. But the trouble is, do you want to walk in places you've never walked before? You know, for an example, somebody's little hound dog gets run over out there in the road, and you can see them come out there and their heart's all broken over that dog getting run over. And this is how much he cares for you and I. You see that person out there brokenhearted, and you know that dog got run over by a truck, so the chances of him living ain't much. But if you believe that God is who he says he is, that he made all these critters and all his creation, and that you can speak into the speak life where death is trying to take over and destroy that person's life or cause that person such heartache that they're going to have trouble. And moved, if you're moved with compassion for that person, and you're willing to pray for that dog, Now, you can think it's fanatical if you want to. That's okay. Somebody's got to be. But you can go out there and pray for that dog. That dog will get up and walk off. Just like you can for somebody else. Because God cares about the smallest things in your life. Just like he cares about the great things in your life. God creates miracles in our lives every day. And we don't even see them. And he says that his small miracles are as great as his big miracles, and they're to be recognized as such, and he's to be given praise for them as such. So when you see God's miracles, you should acknowledge them. Man. Now, I know you didn't ask for all that, but that went along with the testimony. The thing about it is, are you willing to walk in places you've never walked? Are you willing to talk in mannerisms you've never talked? Are you willing to be what God wants you to be instead of what you want to be? Are you curious about what his name is for you as he renames you as you become the Christian and the person that he's called you to be? Or are you satisfied just be, hey, I'm just Christian, man. I'm just hanging out here. Don't worry about it. He's gone. The reality of it is who you want to be. How do you want to walk? And how do you want people to see your Lord and Savior? See, when we're walking and we're Christians, we think we're representing ourselves. We're not. We're a representation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The words that come out of our mouth represent him. Just like if you're selling the vacuum cleaner, you're representing that company. But you and I are walking billboards for Jesus Christ, for our Lord and Savior, that sits on the throne of heaven, for the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be. So the next time you're in a crowd and you're cussing as much as they are you doing what everybody else is doing and you're laughing at the same old dirty jokes just because you want to be part of that crowd? WWJD. What would Jesus do? But, of course, I know nobody falls into that. I'm just talking that, you know, when you look at it, we're supposed to be the exception. We're not supposed to be the rule. We're supposed to be the one that people look at and say, well, why didn't they laugh at that joke? That was, you know, why are they walking away? You know, we're just standing around doing what we always do, cussing each other and carrying on, you know. Because the Bible tells us to come apart from that. It says to be in the world but not of the world. And basically what I'm saying is if you want to be to the point of relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit can work through you with a mind and a power and authority that you've never experienced before. And see things happen around about you that you've never seen before. It calls for a change in your life. It calls for dedication in your life and mine. So basically the question is, where you want to be? Who you want to be? And how do you plan on getting there? Are you going to be a little Christian? Are you going to be a little more Christian? Are you going to be completely sold out to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and desire to follow him in ways, shapes, and forms and not that people don't know of. It's like the man is at the gate when Peter and John come up there to the gate. You know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to you. People say, well, that don't happen no more. Those days are over with. Well, if that's what you want to smoke in your pipe, then go ahead. But I choose to believe that God is still in the healing business as instantaneous as he was that day that they grabbed hands and stood up from the man sitting position to the man standing position. He was completely healed. His muscles completely brought back to life. His ligaments put in place. The cartilage is in his leg. The withered bones that wasn't used was brought to full maturity. And his mental state was brought to a maturity of, I can walk now. I can. All the 6 months of rehab to go through in order to be able to walk from the sitting position to the standing position was done to the point that he was rehabbed where he went running and jumping into the temple. Now, that's the God I serve. That's the God that you serve. But do you believe that he will work through you in that same manner if you have the faith and are willing to step forth with the boldness and do what he would have you to do? Because the relationship that I'm talking about, that he was talking about, with the Holy Spirit working through you, comes from the point and place that you're willing to take that step, that you're willing to go the distance. And it's all about him. It's not nothing about me. It's just an experience that he allowed me to have, a learning experience. And I appreciated him letting me do it. And if I had a chance, I'd strap myself in and go for the ride again. Because he is our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our King. He's our all or everything. Magnificent, mighty, and powerful in ways that we dream not of and we understand not. But we should accept him completely and fully. And in walking therein, we walk in places we never dreamed. And with that, I'll leave you all alone this morning.
Bruce, I thank you for sharing that with us.
That was kind of the extended version, wasn't it?
Oh, it was perfect.
You should have told me you wanted the abbreviated version. I could have made it shorter.
I could have listened all the way home. But yeah, it was definitely good. I appreciate that.
Yeah. It actually brings up questions, though, when you start thinking about that. It should bring questions to our minds and cause us to come to a place of making decisions and making recommitments. You know, I would hope that would have that effect on myself as well as, you know, other people. You know, what is impossible with man is possible with God. I read that somewhere.
Yeah. That book that I was reading, it said in there just exactly what you said. It said before you can go any farther in your prayer life and be, what's the word I'm looking for? To pray to get to the point where when you pray it, you believe it and you know exactly that it's going to be took care of. Pray with the authority that you need to pray with. That said, just what you did, you got to first get over the one worrying what other people are thinking about you. You got to get rid of that.
That's one of our biggest obstacles. We get to worrying about what man thinks about us, and we forget to worry about what the most important person in our life thinks about us, which is God. And what happens is, and we do something that the Bible tells us not to do. It tells us not to become man-pleasers. You know, and if I'm scared to pray for somebody, or I'm scared to walk in something because some man's standing there, then I'm not going to pray believing because I'm too busy worrying about whether I'm going to be accepted or not.
Yep.
And which brings doubt in. It's a place where you go, and I'd rather see people learn it the easy way. You know, there's an easy way to learn things about God, and there's a hard way to learn. And I'd rather see people learn the easy way. because that means they don't have to go through some things that other people have had to go through to learn it. And it's not pleasant things. It's just points and places where all of a sudden you've got nobody else to go to with God. He's the only one. He's the one and only that can do it. And you know that, you know. And by that, you finally just surrender all. It's like the song says. You just finally surrender all to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And we as humans, we worry about what Uncle Jack's going to think about us, or, you know, what they going to think if I tell them this, or I tell them that, or I pray like this, or I pray like that. And people will come at you for the way you pray. You know, I've experienced that myself. You know, no more than I pray about this. You know, people come at you. You know, you can't pray like that. You know, I just tell them, well, I've already done it, so it's a little late, you know. You know, God says you can pray like that, and you can pray like it, and you can expect results.
Yep.
But then that's basically what the Bible tells you that as well. It tells us to pray believing. There's a place in there where it talks about, it says, pray believing. Two people coming together, praying, believing. You say unto that mountain, be thou removed, and it'll be done. Now, in your mind, that may only mean social mountains and stuff of that sort. But in my believing, a mountain is a mountain. And I believe it's the mountains in our lives, socially, in our everyday lives, and our troubles and our trials. But I also believe it means a literal mountain. What He made, He can remove. He spoke this world into existence. So, when you start looking at it, do you believe He's who He is? You know, that's who He says He is. You know, do you believe He can make the difference in the things that He says He can? You know, when you get to looking at that, basically, if you don't believe it, you're calling Him a liar. Mm-hmm. Don't know about you, but I ain't into that myself. What do you think?
I hear you. Yeah. When you were seeing these people to pray for, you never seen these people before, ever, had you? You don't know who they were.
I didn't know them.
Yeah.
They were people who lived down that road on these. The ones that come in from the right was the ones that lived on the right side of the road. The ones that come in from the left was the ones that lived on the left side of the road. They had faces. I could look at them. I see them. That was what they was going through. The man that was there with that kid. See, the thing about it is when he showed me him, he showed me, I guess it was his dad, and he was so wore out and so tired. Because of the things that they go through and the things that they have to continually be on. And you can see the tiredness on him. And the Holy Spirit even covered that. You know, he didn't just do half of it. He covered the kid, plus he covered the parents as well, because they were in need of prayer as much as the kid was. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
Well, you start to say, Miss Candy?
I was going to say, we also have to pray against being boastful and thinking we're doing it on our own power when it's God's power.
That's it. People get to thinking that they're the man or they're the woman. That's why it's happening. And when you get there, you're falling into a point of self-righteousness and lifting yourself up. And the Bible tells us not to lift man up, because man will surely fail you. And when you start lifting him up, whether it be yourself or someone else, start watching for a fall, because man's going to fall. Because when you start taking credit for what God's doing in your life, you're setting yourself up for some bad situations. Because He says he'll share His glory with no man.
Amen.
You're exactly right. That's why it talks about pride. That's why it's important when you're talking about the Lord. Just like what I was talking about a while ago. Everything I told you about, it's about Him. It's about what He can do. It's about how He'll do it. It's about how He'll use you to do what He needs to do to glorify Himself. It's all about Him. Now, if you are fortunate enough to be the one to go along for the ride, count yourself fortunate. Because the blessing you're getting when that person is getting healed or that person is getting delivered, the power of God that you feel in yourself at that point in time by being that close to it as God is taking care of business, that person getting double to triple what you're getting. Man, that's something to think about. When you know somebody's getting that healing and you feel that power on you, you can start praising the Lord because that person is getting a whole lot more than you're getting.
Amen.
Well, it's like when we're praying for Don Honor up there and on the yard in Morristown. You know, the man has told him, go home and get your life in order. You got 6 weeks, and that's it. You're out of here. Wasn't no maybe. Wasn't no, you know, we can extend it a little while. It was it. He just gave him the death sentence. And we started praying for him. And when I got done praying, I actually had to look down to make sure my feet were still on the ground. I felt like I was about 2 foot off the ground. That's how great the presence of the Lord was. I got to be there for that. That was an experience that God allowed me to be there while He was taking care of Don. Well, I talked to Don later, and Don said he felt like that, you know, when we were friends, just like I could see the Lord walk right by Longberger. He walked right by him, walked up nose to nose, toe to toe with Don, and wrapped his arms around him, and it was on. I was like, whoa, and so Don was telling me, he said, you know, he get the same feeling was happening with him. Is what he said he felt like when he wrapped his arms around him, he went 10 foot in the air. And he said when he was in the air, he said it felt like something just cut his side right there where the cancer had been diagnosed to be. And he said he could feel it just running down his body. And he knew then that he was healed. So I got 2 foot. He got 10. Now, I could complain about that, but I was satisfied with the 2 foot because it was good. You know.
Amen, brother.
And then, see, it's nothing about me. I just got to be there for it. It's all about Him. You know, Holy Spirit uses us for mouthpieces and because, you know, it's like he that morning, you know, Holy Spirit told him, says, you know, do you believe you can be healed right now? And Don said, well, yeah. He said, no, do you believe you can be healed right now? Because if you don't, basically it was me, you know, Holy Spirit was working. Basically, if you don't, I'm not wasting my time or God's time. It's now. And Don, I was my own self. I thought, well, man, Lord, that's pretty rough, you know. Man, he's got 6 week death sentence. But the thing about it is, that's the way the Holy Spirit put it to him, so he would be able to grasp what he was fixing to get. He would, you know, and he said, "Yeah, I believe it," and he got it. That was almost 10 years ago, you know, maybe a little longer. But see, it's all about God. It's all about Him. It's all about the way He does it or brings it forth. And the manner when His presence arrives in such a way, it's like, wow. It's just that good. You know. So, when you think about it, it's all about Him. You just get to be there.
Yeah. It was like that morning, that guy come up here and saying he hadn't got healed from fibromyalgia. And you got to praying for him, and just shortly after you were done praying, we all actually took a I turned praying for him, and the Holy Spirit was moving, and the just his reaction, man, something's going on here. I feel stuff moving in my body. There's some healing going on here in my body. He was just floored at what was going on, and he talked about that wash stain even not hurting anymore. Went away, and we got to be along for that ride, and that was just an awesome morning. I'll never forget that.
See that, and we got to be there for it.
That's right.
That was his morning. God was doing something in him that he didn't really believe could be done because he was claiming the fibromyalgia as his. He was, but when the Lord got done, and seen that wasn't no one person praying. That was everybody that was on the line that morning was praying, and the Holy Spirit was going from one person to the next. He's right around the circle, and by following the leading of the Lord, and by the leading of the Holy Spirit that morning, that complete prayer circle, the man was healed.
Amen.
Because we got to be there. So we got to be there as a collective group to feel that whole move of the Lord doing something to him, and him saying, something moving around my body. I ain't never felt like nothing like this before. I don't know what this is, but there's healing going on somewhere. And then he jumps up with a wasp thing, you know.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit said, he ain't getting in front of me. And we went right around the circle again over that wash spring, not just me, but everybody, before it was all said and done. And then all of a sudden there wasn't no wash thing. And then the skeptic come out of him the next night. Well, you guys prayed for my wash thing last night, and it quit hurting. Well, it's been itching. Could you pray for the itching? The Lord said, I ain't believing this. And that's when he said, pray for the itching. It wasn't what it took him 2 minutes to get his words back from that one. When the Lord hit him with that, he prayed for the itching to go away, and it went away.
Yep.
It's normal. You know, the Lord was doing something there, and we got to be there. We got to be there to watch God work. And we got to be a usable tool in God's hand. But it was all about him. No, that ain't just cool.
Fella.
What?
Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
I was just going to include the fellow that John Herman called in one morning that was in Florida. None of us knew him, and John he had got the death sentence as well. And John asked for if we would pray for him, and man, you just jumped right on it. And a couple of weeks later, John Herman calls back and says, cancer's gone. You know.
That's just who he is and what he does.
Can't find a trace of it.
Yeah.
So.
There again, I wasn't the only one that prayed that morning. I prayed, but you guys jumped right in and followed the leading of the Holy Spirit and prayed on top of it. You know. It's about him. If you watch him work, you'll stand around. You have to put a screen over your mouth, keep your flies flying in. You just stand around and all like, wow.
Amen. I got to mute you guys out a second.
You finished that book the other night, didn't you, Miss Ken? You still up here, Miss Candy? Yes, no. Well, y'all be blessed. Y'all be safe.
Well, thank you, Curtis, if you're still here. anybody's still here, I got to mute you back out for another 10 minutes or so, and I'll be back on.